And this is our number.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Aaron, isn't that story about those two 12-year-olds just incredible?
I know. I can imagine being their parents. Oh, my goodness. That is terrifying.
Jeez. Did you see the size of the lid on that concrete, the catch basin that they were dumped into?
Actually, I haven't seen it, no.
It's like, what's the area of a circle? Pi r squared? I don't know. I've forgotten all that. It's probably four times the size of a manhole cover.
Oh, my gosh.
At least. And one of the responding officers lifted it off by himself so that they could reach in and get these kids up from that catch basin. But
wow.
I want to find out how heavy that lid is, because I'm guessing it's hundreds of pounds. And, you know, it's like those stories we always hear about people lifting cars off loved ones. And
superhuman strength. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm putting out a public call, because Nicole and I both this morning, we tried to, because the names of the two boys has not been released.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to them.
That'd be a great interview, for sure.
Yeah, because that's the exact kind of thing I could have easily done when I was 12 years old. I guarantee. I mean, it's but the grace of God that I'm here today.
Yeah.
But if anybody knows these 12-year-old kids who got washed away, and they're both okay, send us a text. And we'll have to verify it, and we'll do, you know, the way we vet things. But send us a text, and I want to get them on the show. One of them, both of them, whatever it takes. So text us at 888-973 Cairo if you know the 12-year-old boys who got saved last night. 888-973 Cairo. Give us some contact info. We'll have to get it approved by their parents and all of that. But, oh, I want to talk to those kids. And I wonder... This is why I want to talk to him, Aaron. I wonder, at age 12, because you think you're invincible. You think you're immortal at 12 years old. I wonder if they had a sense of just how horrible that was, or if, you know, that sense of invincibility that so many of us, that cloak that we all wear at that age, if it just hasn't hit them that it was such a close call.
I have a feeling they probably felt pretty invincible as some young rascals out there.
Yeah. That's my guess, too. But gosh, I want to talk to them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're reaching out. Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you can put me in touch with those 12-year-old boys, text us at 888-973 Cairo. We need parents' contact. But we tried and tried and tried this morning. And then showtime, because usually Nicole can pull out miracles when we're looking for guests. But this was a tough one. So, I want to share their story with the world. So 888-973 Cairo, text us if you can help us contact the kids. That is quite the story. All right, it's the Fast 15. It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. So here's how Cairo 7 reported the story of those two kids being sucked 8 feet through a water pipe and dumped into a catch basin.
We all know how powerful water can be, got about ankle deep. They most likely got swept away from there and then brought into the drain.
Police share this video that shows how the drain can suck someone in and empty them into this concrete tank. Both kids traveled up to 8 feet through the pipe before they were emptied into this concrete tank that eventually leads to another pipe. But before that could also suck them in.
Both children were able to grab onto that ladder, scream for help, and then 911 calls came in for the police department.
And also, Nicole, can you imagine how cold that water was in the dark of the night last night? Oh, my goodness.
I wouldn't have even been out there. That would have been scary to me to be out in the rain and the fort. Like, what were they doing out there anyway?
No, you know, I don't fault them in this, because like I said,
I mean, it's a good thing. I'm just saying I'm a wimp.
I absolutely would have done something like that. I mean, they were just in, they thought ankle deep water, but then there was a whirlpool effect that sucked them down. They go into a pipe for 8 feet that's filled with water. And then get spit up into this catch basin. Oh, I want to talk to those kids. Has anybody texted us yet? Are you checking?
None with contacts, I don't believe.
Dang it. Okay. Come on. If you have a friend of a friend, help hook me up here. 888-973-CHIRO. A few months ago, we had John Cleese from Monty Python on the radio show. And I will admit, I was not the biggest Monty Python fan, but John Cleese personally helped me get into the radio business. Not directly, not person to person, but he wrote a bit called The Argument Clinic. And we had it was like a variety show that we produced at Ballard High School called Showbiz. And I got the lead in The Argument Clinic. Hello, would like to have an argument, please. And I got the lead in it, and it went over pretty big. Got big laughs from a sold-out house. And so when I had John Cleese on a few months ago, I told him that this skit that he had written was what kind of fueled my passion to do. I think it led to the radio gig. I knew I wanted to do something in the entertainment field. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, when are you going to start being entertaining then, Munson? So John Cleese, like so many other people, he is facing a blacklist. He's being canceled because, this is so insane. Many, many, many years ago, he portrayed Adolf Hitler. He's done Hitler impressions in Monty Python and somewhere else. Well, he heard that a professor at Cambridge University was fired for playing Adolf Hitler 30 or 40 years ago. So John Cleese, he said, I know, I'm going to be canceled over their woke rules. And so he said, yeah, they're digging up old stuff that I did. And one of them was a Hitler impersonation decades ago. And I talked to him about that when he was on this show. I talked to him. He's sharp as can be. I think he's 83 years old. And he talked about how so many people today, instead of building themselves up, they just want to tear other people down. People who have a void in their life, and you know, you as a comedian, you make fun of our foibles. Now we have people who have a void in their life, and instead of filling it with something productive, they just try to tear other people down.
That's right. And it's because they feel bad about themselves. Yeah. Nasty people are nasty about other people because momentarily there's a feeling of superiority. And the answer is we should just pay no attention to them. But I would love to debate them. I would love to say to a woke person, please tell me a woke joke. Because what would they say? It would be like having a sitcom about a functional family.
That's right.
It'd be heartwarming but unfunny.
Unfunny. That's right. That's what everybody wants. They want just a bland, watered down, everything's neutral world. So he's now canceling himself because people are digging up old Hitler impressions that he did decades ago. It is insane. Next up in the Fastest 15. Okay, Nicole, you've been telling me for how long now? A year? More than a year?
Probably about a year, because I got into it a little bit late too, but
you've been telling me that I have to start watching Yellowstone with Kevin Costner. It's on Netflix. It is the number one downloaded show in America. And get this, the season debut on Sunday, it got more viewers than 60 Minutes on CBS.
Oh, well, I'd hope so.
No, that's insane. 60 Minutes used to be the most dominant. I mean, it's garbage
used
now.
Used to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's still a top 10 show. But Yellowstone's blowing it out of the water. And I just haven't started watching it yet. Even though Kevin Costner, who is one of my all-time favorite actors. I love his movies. There's something about
him. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, there is something about him that is so low-key and likable. that I've always... I was never a big fan of Field of Dreams, which is everybody's favorite baseball movie of all time. But other than that, I mean, I liked it.
I think
okay.
He seems like such a normal guy. He just seems normal.
And that's the thing I was reading about Yellowstone. It's like the anti-woke show. And instead of being set in New York or Los Angeles, like most network shows, it's set in Montana. And it's about traditional family and values. And it is
well,
so
hard. I don't know about.
I'm well, that's what I read today. I mean, I'll take your word over.
I mean, there's a lot of murder that happens. It's probably not a value I'd consider. But loyalty and things like that, yeah. But, I mean, they're definitely a corrupt situation, family, okay. City, like
hey,
whatever.
But hey, don't spoil it for me. Come
right.
on.
Right, yeah. Yeah, anyway, you'll figure it out.
As with John Cleese, we had Kevin Costner on the show, and he told me that he's just thrilled to be at a point in his life and in his acting career where he can just do what he wants to do. I can't imagine being at a place in life where you can play the music you want, do the projects you want. I can't imagine that there's a better definition of contentment. And that's what I seem to be hearing as I talk to you here.
Well, I tell you for sure, Dory, that is the myth sometimes that you get everything you want. I still have these dreams, and they don't fall into the conventions of what people want me to do, but they stand clearly for me what I want. And I have to push those uphill to get them over. I can do a lot of things that people want me to do, you know, kind of repeat the same success or do something. But I always feel like my relationship with an audience is about a level of surprise and kind of like having a secret, you know, that secret. I read the best book last night. Now I'm going to tell you about it. I heard the best song yesterday. Now I'm going to tell about it. I have these kind of stories in my head, whether they're 4 minutes long songs like Won't Stop Loving You or they're, you know, 4 hour Western or about something else. I feel like I have this chance all the time to share something that kind of can be something someone, if you do it right, won't ever forget. And we know that movies are made up of moments like that. So many movies we do don't always work that way, but some, they are about moments that you'll never, ever forget. And I have those things in my head. And the idea that I can just do whatever I want, it's not really true. So anybody out there thinking about it, I have to push it uphill because there are people and it feels like everything I do seems a little bit too hard for people. But I can't let that kind of kill the dream. So even now, there are things that I want. I got some secrets that I want people to ultimately see. And the only way they're going to ever see it is if I don't let go of it.
You know what? As I listen back to that, Nicole, I guess I'm bragging. I remember now that I am maybe more proud of that interview than any we've done because I know he's been interviewed a billion times. And when they do these kind of press tours where he just does one radio show after another, and I knew if it just asked
what's
him
it like
field,
in Montana? Why? What do you want to get across with your music? It was all the same
yeah,
answers. Probably.
Yeah, and, mm-hmm. you know, field and... And I worked my butt off to prepare for that interview and to come up with questions that I thought he maybe had never been asked. And as I listened back to that, I remember that one really triggered something in him because he just went off for 2 minutes and it was fascinating. And the whole interview was like that because he was great. He was so responsive, I think, to you know, not being asked the same questions over and over. And I'd forgotten how much I loved that.
Yeah, I told you were going to feel like you missed out by not catching up before the premiere of this season. Because, you know, there's not many shows right now that most things you just go online and you watch everything. And this is you watch one a week and that's all you get. And it really was kind of nostalgic when that was the thing for, you know, Friends or ER or any of these shows that I used to watch when I was little, and you had to wait every week, and and everybody was watching it at the same time, and that just doesn't happen anymore. And it was really fun to be texting my friends, like, all seeing the same thing at the same time.
How about this? Let's make a deal. I will binge watch Yellowstone in the next 2-3 weeks. I'll get all caught up. Okay. And if I do that, if I hold up my end, you get Kevin Costner back on the show with us.
I have no problems having Kevin Costner on the show. I will do my best for sure.
Okay. All right. Just remind him. Remind him how great this first visit was.
I watched all 3 seasons in a week, I think, which is ridiculous, but it's so good. Once you get going, you can't stop.
Okay, number one stream show in the United States right now. Next up in the Fastest 15, how do you define the word education? Yeah, I think of it as, you know, expanding my mind, learning things that I don't know. In a broader sense, it's about the schools that we fund and that our kids attend, you know, whether it be primary, high school, higher education. I realized I didn't know what the word meant. Joy Reid on MSNBC defined the word education for me. What does it mean, Joy?
The exit poll showed that which was interesting, that the coronavirus or that the virus was a very
low salience.
Not important to many of the voters there. It was education,
right.
Which is code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching about race.
Oh, that's what education means. White parents don't like talking about race. Okay. Thank you. I did not know that. I'll fix that. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes. We'll give you the world. Hey, he couldn't join us on Tuesday because he was out gallivanting in the sunshine. But Dave Wyman is here today for his weekly visit. That is coming up right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Aaron, remember what we were talking about a half hour ago?
Yeah. You got him.
I am so excited.
You got him.
We are going to talk to one of the 12-year-old boys who got washed down the storm drain and into a catch basin last night. He's
going
to join us at 2:30 this afternoon. How about that?
Very well done.
Oh, man. I tell you. We have the greatest listeners in America for radio. And one of our listeners got us the contact. Nicole talked to his mom. So 2:30 this afternoon, we're going to talk to one of the kids who washed down the storm drain last night. It is a Cairo and Dory Monson Show exclusive. All right. That's coming up about an hour from now. And I'm almost as excited for this. Dave Wyman's here. Sean, hit it. You, Led Zeppelin.
Wow. Dave, you are there, aren't you? You
I would not have known this one.
Yeah, really? You would have. I'm shocked. I don't think I've ever beat you before at a Led Zeppelin song.
Yeah.
No.
You know, this is right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, it is.
How are you?
You know, I was just telling my producer,
yeah,
don't ever have kids.
And that's the end of our segment.
That's so random.
Yeah, just don't.
What's going on? Do you want to talk about it?
No, not really.
Well, no, you can't say that and then say you don't want to talk about it.
Well, you know, never mind. Yeah, I'm through. I'm good now. Yeah, it was just, you know, it's always when I go on the air, you know, and my kids will text me, and every once in a while I send the same thing. It's like, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but I'm on the radio from the hours 2 to 6 for the last 10 years.
Right.
Always need something.
Well,
anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kids are very needy.
Yes, they are.
Pulling a good Larry David right now / George Costanza.
I watched a lot of Seinfeld. You know, I took some days off, went down to the conveyor belt to death in Palm Springs, and it was, you know, I Michael Bumpus, we were talking to him, and I was like, what kind of guy were you during the bye week? He goes, you know, I just wanted to do whatever I wanted to do. And so I was laying in bed at like 10 in the morning. It was beautiful, sunny outside, and the shades were closed and everything. And I was watching Seinfeld, rewinds. And I was like, I kind of feel guilty about this. But then I was like, no, you know what? I thought about what Bump said. Like, I just want to do whatever I want to do. And that's what I wanted to do. So
you went down to the desert to watch Seinfeld reruns?
Yes, that's exactly right. No, it didn't happen the whole time. It was just, you know, for a couple hours. You know, when it's sunny outside, you feel like you should be out there, you know, taking it in. And, I was like, screw it. I'm going to sit here in bed and, eat, drink coffee, and watch Seinfeld.
Okay. Are you going to tell me off the air what your opening statement was about?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. I'll be happy to share that with you. I mean, you've heard me complain about my kids before.
Is this why you tried calling me last night?
No.
Oh, that was something else.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was another child that a topic that we have not yet delved into. Another coworker who is a child. Anyway.
Oh, man.
How you doing, Dory?
Segment. Dave complains.
Yeah.
This is
very therapeutic, Sean. I feel better. How about you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. Yeah, everything's going really well. I'm almost tired of talking about this subject with you because I know your answer. I've heard it a million times, but this topic reared its ugly head. Speaking of kids, this week, I'm sure you've already dealt with this on your show. Carson Wentz, the Indianapolis Colts quarterback, generating controversy because his wife's pregnant, and he said this.
I talked to Coach early this week. You know, I could get a call at any point here. We're excited. We're excited as a family. You know, if it comes down to a game, I told my wife, I'm playing, and then I'll see you at the hospital afterwards. And she knew that. She knew that. She's been great. But Coach has been understanding with meetings and everything. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. You know, confident God will time it up the way it's supposed to work out. But we're pretty excited as a family.
What a savage.
I know. He's gotten so much criticism, and I think that that's 100% acceptable. The only person who has a right to question that is his wife.
Right.
And if they've talked about it and she's okay with it, I don't understand this mania of society saying that dads have to be there. And like I said, I know your answer, but maybe some of my listeners don't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, first of all, I have, and I'm bragging, I guess, but I have the most wonderful father that you could possibly have. And, you know, it's funny. I had him in the car about 10 years ago, and he was like, you know, I wish I could have been stronger for you. I worry about that. And I'm like, Dad, are you kidding me? You were always there for me. And, like, when I played football, gosh, I'm starting to get choked up. But, like, when I played football, like, he didn't ever intervene or anything. It was just that he was always there. Like, he took me to breakfast before my high school games. Mm-hmm. It was our little ritual that we would do. And then he took photos. He took pictures of me. Never once said anything about, well, you could have done this or that. Never tried to coach me. He would ask me questions about things. And then I remember one time in a game, I got an interception. And I didn't even realize I did this, but the receiver was trying to tug on my jersey as I was running, and I reached my hand back and slapped his hand off, you know, knocked his hand off, and he mentioned that. And I was like, wow, you're really watching. That's what he did for me.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, and so, but do I remember if my dad was present in the room when I was born? No, I don't. Okay. Right. And I don't remember my mom being there. I don't remember my mom and dad until I was like three.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. And my wife's the same way. I'm like, you know, what would you have done? She's like, honey, go play your game. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Yeah. Go do your job. I mean, it's one of those, what about military guys? You know, I mean, they're overseas and a lot of times they can't, a lot of times those guys will text in, you know, but I mean, first of all, it's just, it's your choice and what you're doing. And apparently you can't have a choice now without everybody judging you. But it's just, to me, it's absolutely ridiculous, you know, and here's a child who works in this building. We had this conversation one time and I'm like, okay, well, what if it's Felix Hernandez and it's game seven and he's pitching and it's, you know, his wife's having a baby. Yeah, and you know what his response was? That would never happen. Like, that's just the stupidest response I've ever heard in my life. So, you know, it could happen.
He was right about that, because that would mean the Mariners making the postseason.
Stop it. Yeah, with Felix, your guy Felix. But, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's absolutely ridiculous that, you know, and if, hey, you want to be there, and you're a father that thinks it's really important and everything, then do it. Okay, right. But for Carson Wentz, I mean, if he is, it's an important game. I mean, every game is important for the Indianapolis Colts. You know, you're screwing over your guys. You know, right. You kind of signed up to be there for this. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to go do that, and everybody's going, oh, great. No, you go to the backup quarterback, it's a freaking disaster. So, I mean, you know, there's that part of it, too. But
well, everyone's response, though, is you're not there for the kid. You're there for your wife.
Yeah. Well, what if you ask your wife and she says, like his wife did, go play?
Yeah, exactly. And I will say, you know, all three of our kids were born via C-section.
Same.
And I know that's I know that's very physically challenging for the woman, but it's a horrible thing for a husband to watch.
Yeah, well, and I think, you know, at one point. Yeah, I remember there was like the curtain up and it was like, there's your boy. And I jumped up and looked. I was like, oh, I did not need to see that.
But, yeah.
But hey,
they're so rough. I mean, they like reach in and they flip innards onto the stomach.
That's enough.
They do.
Yeah. That's why I always say, like, my wife is the toughest person in the family. That's for sure.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, I that to me is kind of infuriating, and it's one of those. It's a great topic, you know, because you get people going one way or the other. But yeah, the judgment now is just it's nonsense.
Our first two kids were born on Thursdays, and I used to play basketball every Thursday night from 8 to 10, and I played those two nights. I was with my wife at the hospital. It was a C-section, so she had nurses, and she was going to be in the hospital for 2 or 3 days. And she said, they're taking care of me. I held the baby for, you know, 6-7 hours, and then I went and played some ball.
Yeah, right.
I had to work off the stress. All right, we'll continue our conversation with Dave Wyman.
Oh, Barry White.
Wow.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah.
Sweet. Remember when he chased all of the snakes out of Springfield on The Simpsons?
No, but yeah. I do remember in Trading Places, it's the most famous part. Just, you wouldn't know that because you're a big Barry White looking... And then I can't say the rest. Remember that? Remember when Eddie Murphy's in...
I've seen, like, the movie, I think, once.
Of course, you wouldn't know that because you're a big Barry White looking... I can't say the rest.
Okay, we'll continue our conversation with Dave Wyman, Seahawks in Green Bay this weekend. Lots more to come as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
I know there's only one like you.
I've had enough of danger. George Michael?
You are correct, sir.
Oh, man. I couldn't decide if it was Wham. Wham.
Oh, was it
or
Wham?
George Michael. No, I think it's George Michael.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Dave Wyman's with us. By the way, congratulations, Dave.
On?
Did you see the digital report that just went out?
Hmm.
My show is, I thought my show is the most downloaded at Bonneville, Seattle. In last month, 251,000 hours of my show was downloaded for podcast listeners. But you know who beat me?
Who?
Wyman and Bob!
You're kidding me.
You guys had 284,000 hours of your show downloaded? In October alone?
We're pretty special. I
Man,
know that.
That's crazy.
Oh, that's, wow. I mean, yeah, I look at that stuff. It's just, you know, that kind of stuff is very temperamental, you know? So, yeah. But yeah,
I'm obsessive about this and that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you are.
Seahawks in Green Bay. Yeah. And who's has a tougher comeback here? Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers? Russell Wilson with finger ligament, Aaron Rodgers from COVID.
Yeah, it's going to be Russ, you know, definitely, because, I mean, I don't know what kind of case he got, but if it's like most young, healthy people, he's probably asymptomatic or, you know, has some discomfort or something like that. I don't think Aaron Rodgers needs to practice.
Right.
I'm going to go out on a limb there because he is the MVP last year. It's pretty amazing when you look at the stuff that he's done. And, you know, the one season, it was like 17 or 16 or 18. Anyway, he had two interceptions the whole year. I mean, that is so hard to do. So
amazing.
Yeah, and he's just – and we saw him when he was up here in 2018 running to his right and just kind of – he just kind of flicks it, and it goes like 55 yards. So, yeah, he's – I mean, I think he's kind of a pain in the ass. But, you know, he's one of those sports hate guys that people in Seattle like to hate because it's a non-divisional opponent that's become a pretty big rivalry.
Sure, yeah.
And for them, too. And, you know, and it's about the quarterbacks. It's Russ versus Aaron Rodgers, you know. So, yeah, and for them, I mean, I think I always forget about the NFC Championship game. If you're a Green Bay Packer fan, if you're looking at that on the other side, that's horrible.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
That was one of the great chokes in football history.
Well, I mean, look, there, and just two things. Well, three. I mean, first of all, the throw to Curse at the very end, and Russ sees that right away, man-to-man coverage, I'm just going to float it up there for Curse. And then, you know, remember they had the two-point conversion that went wrong, and I don't know who the holder was, maybe it was Russ, but he had to chuck it up, or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't a field goal, it was a, was it a fake extra point or something, but Luke Wilson just stabbed it out of the air, so that happened, and then they got the onside kick.
Right, where the guy on Green Bay just completely blew his assignment.
Totally.
And cost them the game. Yeah. That was crazy. And I will say, now you guys aren't traveling this year, are you and Rabel?
Apparently not. Yeah. Okay. It's too bad. I like going to Milwaukee. It's like stepping back in time, like 30 years when you go to Green Bay.
Some of my favorite memories with you were you and Moyer, our trip to Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah. That was really fun. And, yeah, last time I went there, I forgot my like overcoat, and I'd be down on the field for post game. So I went to this place and took an Uber, and like I said, it was like an old like 1980s Macy's that I went to. This was like 2019, nice. and bought myself an overcoat. But yeah, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's backwards there, but it's just kind of stuck in time a little bit. And in especially you go into that stadium there. Remember, Dory, it's like in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So there's these people, you know, that are renting out their front lawns for parking space, you know, $10 park in my lawn. So.
Yeah, it's like going to the Puyallup Fair.
Yeah.
Right. And that stadium is where you delivered one of the soundbite of the year from whatever year that was. Who was that, Jordan Peterson? I should have had that ready to play for you today.
Oh, darn it, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah, well.
That was it's the kind of game that'll give you gallbladders.
That's right.
Is what he said. And I was like, yeah, well, good news is if you ever have to have your gallbladder removed, you can come here and you might get one.
Get replaced. What are we listening to? Turn it up, Sean. You can turn me on with just a touch, baby.
Oh. Can't help you. It's an actor. Sounds like an actor song.
Bruno Mars.
Dory, this is your favorite artist.
Who?
The Weeknd.
Oh, The Weeknd. You a big fan of The Weeknd, Dave?
I just heard about them like 3 months ago.
No, it's a guy.
Him. Oh. Him.
Okay.
Yeah.
See. Oh, there's one guy? He thinks he's The Weeknd?
Yeah, he's the whole thing.
I thought there'd be like a whole slew of people.
No. No, it's just one guy. And
that would be The Week.
The month.
Go do your show.
All right.
Dave Wyman, you can hear him every afternoon, 7:10 ESPN Seattle. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. And next hour, we are going to talk to Jason Rantz about how low staffing may have cost a man his life. And at 2:30, the 12-year-old kid who got washed down a storm drain last night. We have an incredible hour ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. I say